laboratory testing is kind of an afterthought until it's everything, until your specific diagnosis, you're waiting on that lab test result and waiting for the call from the doctor.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Josh Thadden. He is a senior director at Quest Diagnostics. Welcome, Josh, and thanks for joining me today to discuss your career.
Drew, thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, we're getting into spring here, and we're going to be coming over there to take a field trip. So we're going to have a couple of your people through Quest talk about the different careers and options that they have and kind of how they got into the field that you guys are in. First off, can you give us a little detail about your career and what you do at Quest Diagnostics?
You bet. So right now, my role at Quest Diagnostics is a senior director of patient services for the Great Midwest region, which is the 20 states in the middle of the country. And I'm in charge of our phlebotomy team, who works in our patient service centers and in our client doctor offices. So we're the people who go draw your blood when you need lab testing, and then we send it on through our courier network into the labs to be tested. So my department has about 2,400 employees right now. And a big part of what I do is making sure that we're operating efficiently and optimally and creating a great work environment. So how I got here, you know, I started out in the Navy after high school. Okay. And, you know, we can get into this a little bit later, but I took a real non-traditional path. I spent about 9 years in the Navy and then didn't start my college until much later in life. So I didn't even achieve a bachelor's degree till I was 34 years old. So it's been a long and winding road, but here we are.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. My dad spent a couple of years, 4 or 5 years in the Coast Guard and did that kind of non-traditional route of going back to school. Kind of talking about that, I guess, before we get into some of the other stuff, how did you kind of decide it was time to get out of the Navy and want to go back to school to pursue a career?
Yeah, ironically, I had a great time in the Navy and it offered me the opportunity to travel, you know, around the country and even overseas a little bit. And as I got out of my 20s, I was seeing that, you know, okay, I'm going to need a college degree at some point. And back then, it was difficult to find online education. That's much more available nowadays. And that was really part of my decision to get back into the civilian world. I figured I could do pretty well. And I enjoyed the time in the Navy and highly encourage anyone to consider that route as well. But for me, it was just time.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, you know, just kind of deciding that that's what you're wanting to do. So you said you were in charge of all the phlebotomists and about 24,000 people employed there. When we talked to Mr. Hughes, he said that there's about 150,000 tests being run through there a day. Out of that, how many would you say are blood draws and tests through your department?
About half of it comes through my department. Half of it's collected directly by our clients. And yeah, so it's about 50-50.
Yeah. And then so a typical week in the life or day in the life of a phlebotomist, medical service tech there, what does that kind of look like? Like when the blood comes in, what are they doing with it as far as testing goes? And what are some of the types of different tests that, I mean, there's a bunch of different blood tests, but what are some of the different types of tests for blood testing?
You bet. So you've got clinical chemistry, you've got microbiology, even some blood banking, and then hematology is a big section. And then there's all sorts of esoteric testing as well. And we do just about every test under the sun right here in Lenexa, Kansas at our laboratory. If there's anything highly esoteric. We can send it to a couple of our esoteric labs, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. And when those specimens come in, there's a highly standardized process to make sure that every single specimen is tracked throughout the laboratory and tested as quickly as possible so that the results can get back to the ordering physician overnight. Usually before the doctor comes into the office the next morning, they've got their results.
Okay. And that's for all of the states that it comes in that fast. I'm assuming, you know, if somebody not in Kansas was going to the doctor and getting blood drawn for a type of test, it may take a day or overnighted to you guys to get the testing.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that Quest Diagnostics not only has our own extensive logistics fleet of automobiles, we also have our own commercial jets. So we do use commercial freight in on the airlines from time to time, but a large share of our specimens come via our own jets. And so, yeah, if your specimens were collected in Billings, Montana, or Denver, Colorado, or Little Rock, Arkansas, or right here in Kansas City, it would all be tested here in Lenexa, and the next morning your doctor will have the results.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I mean, just to be able to have that testing done so rapidly and have the results that quick to know what's kind of being done. So for college, you know, you said you spent 9 years in the Navy. When we were talking earlier, you mentioned that you started at the University of Nebraska. Was there a reason that you kind of chose Nebraska to start off?
Yeah, I was from Northwest Kansas originally. And so University of Nebraska was fairly close to home, but not too close, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And so it was a great time and a lot of great experiences there. And as I became more work and career focused, the option of finishing online at Bellevue University became more attractive to me and more feasible. And, you know, ironically, you know, when I got out of the Navy, which is a big transition into civilian life, I found myself really enjoying the laboratory field more than I had even in the Navy. And that led to some early success. And I had to make some choices between committing to that education and deferring some career opportunities to make sure I finished my education first, because it was really a decision of, do I want to commit more time to this promotion, or do I need to take a step back here and do my education first? And that's what I ultimately chose to do.
Being able to finish online, you know, while working and doing your career, that was kind of interesting. I did notice you say you enjoyed the medical lab science type stuff more than you did when you were in the Navy. Was there something that you did in the Navy that kind of was medical or scientific, or were you doing more just hands-on boat type stuff?
I got some really good experience in the Navy as far as working in large hospitals and also working in small outpatient clinics. And I really enjoyed the opportunity. That was my first opportunity north of Seattle in Everett, Washington, where I was able to draw a patient's blood and then take that blood around the corner and be the person who tests that blood on the instruments. And so I got to see, you know, the symptoms and then the results at the same time. And it was a really good learning experience. And one of the reasons why I enjoyed the civilian side much more is, as you can imagine, working in whether it's a small county hospital or even a larger hospital, you get to see a lot more clinical symptoms than just your standard military folks who are generally pretty healthy. And so part of my experience in the civilian world, working in the laboratory, was working in, say, emergency rooms and being the weekend night lab tech who would go grab the specimens and collect those from someone who's in the ER, not having their best day of their life, and then go seeing those results. And it was quite an eye-opening experience, not only to see the correlation between symptoms and results, but also to see the different patterns of test ordering from different physicians based on similar symptoms. So it really gave me a really good education of how the lab field works and how important laboratory medicine is to patient care.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So then once you got your degree from Bellevue, did you go straight to work, with Quest, or was there a couple stops along the way?
Yeah, I got my bachelor's from Bellevue and then wanted to continue on right away into the master's program there. Okay. And so that's where I took the weekend night job in at a small county hospital in Western Iowa and had a fantastic experience there. And then once I finished my master's, and then I joined Quest.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So with that master's, it's in healthcare administration. What are some of the thing like classes, I guess, that you take as a part of a healthcare administration? And what are some things that students could get involved in while they're getting their master's, like clubs or programs that would help them along the way?
You know, I would really recommend finding different groups, whether it's on LinkedIn, Facebook, social media, Instagram, whatever you can find out there, to learn more, not just about the industry you're interested in, but the people who work in it. And, you know, so often we see new employees apply to Quest, and the first place they heard about us was as a patient. And they became interested in what went on behind the scenes. And so they asked one of our phlebotomists, you know, what's it like to work here? And we find often those are some of our best candidates, just through word of mouth. And people are passionate about the science part of the medical field. But I would recommend getting to know anybody in your community who's either a nurse or a doctor, and then asking them a few questions and see where your interests take you, and they'll help you. So many people in the medical field are in this industry because we enjoy helping people. And so that's a nice, usually a nice lead into somebody who can really help you with your career interests.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. A lot of people that I talk to during this podcast mentioned, you know, if you like helping people, it's a great field to be in. It's something that is really interesting. And I think if I wasn't a teacher, I would definitely be in the healthcare field in some form or fashion. So working at Quest, starting off, you know, you've been there for over 10 years, kind of started off as a field operation manager, senior director, field operations, and now senior director of patient services. Over those 10 years, what kind of helped you move up the ladder and move through those steps and the process of continuing working there? And I'm assuming that you absolutely love your job to be able to be there for that amount of time. And a lot of the, it seems like a lot of the people there kind of stay there for a while.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And the only honest answer is, you know, when I joined Quest, I moved to Cleveland, Ohio for my first position with Quest. And I was immediately struck by the level of talent and the skills that my coworkers had, whether it's financial acumen or IT expertise or management and leadership. There are so many people at Quest who are so willing to help mentor and guide new young leaders into the company that I quickly realized that my education was just beginning. And I began to learn directly and indirectly from some of the most talented leaders at Quest. And so I have to say, honestly, the reason I chose to stay and still here today is that I'm still learning and still being developed, and I get a chance to pass on that development and that knowledge to others. That's really gratifying.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. As a health and PE teacher, kind of being able to do that same sort of thing to the high school age population, and being passionate about sports and health myself, it's something that's really important of, like you said, the leadership and the capability of, you know, helping those people that are just starting and getting developed. If someone was interested in becoming a medical laboratory scientist, why should they, like, if, you know, somebody hears about this in high school or maybe early on in college, why should someone pursue a career?
Yeah, I can tell you that a lot of people coming out of school, I find, are very passionate and very driven. And other times they are just more focused on having a stable income or having a stable, you know, job security. Quest as a company fits all those boxes. And if you're interested in becoming a medical lab scientist, you know, we have people who can help you with that. And in fact, here at the Lenexa Laboratory at Quest, we just entered into a new partnership with St. Louis University, who helps students become a medical laboratory scientist. And most of the curriculum is online. There's just a few visits to our lab where you do some practical weekends during the program. And if you've got a few college credits under your belt already, it can really be accelerated. So encourage anybody who's interested in that. You can text the word Quest, Q-U-E-S-T, to 31838. And we got barcodes and everything we can share with you, links to get you more information to that. But it's an excellent opportunity to learn more. And like you said, hey, make some field trips here to the lab, arrange some visits, and you get to see the real world. But the reason people should choose medical lab science as a field, it's growing. The need is growing. A lot of medical laboratory scientists are retiring. They're of the age that now they're ready to retire. So there's just plenty of job prospects, stable jobs, good paying jobs, and really a nice work culture. So many people coming out of school want to look for a good job and hopefully find a good company, but they might not appreciate the culture that they're getting into. And that's why I've stayed 10 years. It's just an amazing group of people who are interested in doing the right thing the right way and making a better product and giving great world-class service to our patients. So it's a great place to work.
Yeah, having that culture, I think, is a huge benefit as a part of a business and a big company like your like Quest. Do you happen to know, like you said, it's a really growing field and a lot of people are starting to retire from their careers. Do you know what the growth percentage is around right now for medical laboratory scientists?
You know, I haven't looked at the latest Bureau of Labor Statistics data. I know that it's growing quickly because and not only are the retirees leaving the workforce, but also there's an awful lot of growth in the industry specifically. And I'll give you one example. So 70% of medical diagnoses involve a laboratory test result. So before your doctor can tell you what your prognosis or what your diagnosis is, they're going to run at least one test and usually several. Now, the key here is that less than 1% of all healthcare expenditures in the US are for laboratory testing. So you can see the tremendous value. And everybody knows about, oh my gosh, we had a pandemic and COVID-19 testing became, you know, central to the country and our ability to function as a country. It's only one example of how I like to use the example, laboratory testing is kind of an afterthought until it's everything, until your specific diagnosis, you're waiting on that lab test result and waiting for the call from the doctor. It's, you know, we've got so many different phrases for expressing that. You know, we're empowering better healthcare, we're, you know, empowering affordable care. And there's a lot of different ways to say it. But the tremendous value that the laboratory science field offers our medical field is one reason to get involved, because it's gonna continue to grow. I don't know what the specific percentage is right now, but it's growing.
Well, I think too, a lot of that growth also is due to the amount of people also that are needing tests. And with more people in the world, there's going to be more tests being run and more lab tests need to be gone through Quest. Now, when I think of a medical laboratory scientist, I kind of think of a person in a, you know, maybe a nurse's outfit or, you know, some sort of scrubs sitting behind a desk, watching all these machines run by and looking through it. What does that kind of look like inside the lab where they're doing the testing?
A lot of it is automated nowadays, where the human involved, the medical laboratory scientist, is watching and monitoring results and using their experience to notice outliers or notice something that's askew or isn't quite where it should be. It's amazing, the technology. You know, the Lenexa lab here is undergoing a $42 million renovation to implement automation on a grand scale. And that's while it continues to function as a full service laboratory 24 hours a day. And so the amount of work going on behind the scenes is just amazing. Every day I come in and look through the glass and see the lab, and almost every day something significant has changed and they're removed. So there's a lot of work going on, but honestly, there's a lot of thinking involved. There's a lot of training, and there's a lot of experience that's required to develop that kind of acumen to notice when something isn't quite right. And we've got some amazing computers and instruments to allow us to do that on a high volume basis. But there really is no substitute for highly trained individuals. So there's always going to be demand for those med lab scientists.
Yeah, it kind of also sounds similar, I think, to maybe a data scientist, where they're able to look at numbers and the percentages of the outliers in the blood and that kind of stuff. What kind of training as far as looking for tendencies in the numbers is available for medical lab scientists?
You know, a healthy background with statistics wouldn't hurt. That's a great point. And if you've got a passion for healthcare and helping people, and, you know, one of our sayings is every specimen is a life. You know, there's a person behind every tube of blood, and they're relying on accurate test results in a timely fashion. And so you're going to look for somebody who's, first of all, really passionate about the helping people and helping people get better healthcare. But you're going to have somebody who's got quite a bit of acumen for math, science, and then more and more we are dealing with technology and computers and able to navigate those fields, and a healthy background with spreadsheets never hurts. But, you know, depending on, you know, we talked about the different departments of the laboratory, whether you're working in hematology, you might need some skills behind the microscope, you know, and whether microbiology the same. And as we graduate into the more of the clinical chemistry field, you're going to need more of that chemistry background, the biochem education. So brush up on those classes, high school, college, it will benefit for sure. It will come in handy.
As far as misconceptions, what do you think the average person might think of as a medical laboratory scientist?
Some misperceptions are that it requires more education than it does. You know, 4-year degree is standard, but like our partnership with St. Louis University, that makes it much more accessible for people who maybe have an associate's or just a year or two of college. And it's, you can get there in a short amount of time and, you know, highly focused training. I think another misconception is how much value is added by lab testing to the entire medical field, because we, you know, everyone knows that healthcare expenses are going up, and they have been for quite some time, often very expensive. Laboratory testing isn't very expensive. And another misconception is that, oh, I have to see a healthcare provider or a doctor to get any lab tests. Well, not necessarily. Quest has a Quest Direct, where you can go online and order your own lab tests, and you can go to one of our patient service centers and have those results in your iPhone or Android mobile device in just a matter of days. So all out of pocket, without any insurance if you don't want to use that either. So there's a lot of options to the public that we need to do a better job of making them aware of and empowering them to take ownership of their own healthcare.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I was recently listening to a podcast by a doctor here in Kansas City, Andrew Gillette. And he talks a lot about hormone therapy and blood testing for different things. And so that was something that personally I was kind of interested in just looking into and kind of figuring out.
Sure.
And knowing that I don't have to go to my primary care physician to get that done is pretty interesting to know. Now, you mentioned also with SLU and having the associate's degree or some of your undergraduate classes done. If somebody's been in a career, maybe they're, you know, right now there's a lot of people that are kind of changing their careers. They have a degree, maybe let's say in business or in something non-healthcare related. Are they able to look into SLU for options for that as far as becoming an MLS?
Absolutely. There's a wide range of courses, curriculum, and majors at SLU. You know, one of our contacts there is the Senior Director of Community and Corporate Relations. Her name is Jamie Patterson Liston. And we're actually having some events here at the lab hosting SLU where they have, you know, in-services, get-togethers, town hall type events where you can come learn more. But obviously, anytime you want, slu.edu, slu.edu is the place to go because there's all sorts of options.
That's really cool. So after someone's become a medical laboratory scientist, what type of professional development do they have as far as keeping credentials or anything like that?
Yeah, and that's where Quest really shines. We've got all sorts of tuition reimbursement if you want to go on and further your education. We've got all sorts of support for ASCP credits and keeping your licensure up to date. And it's in everybody's interest to keep all of our medical lab scientists up to date on their licensures, obviously, not just for expertise, but also for regulatory purposes. And we do provide plenty of resources for that. So it's really an ongoing commitment to the people who chose to work at Quest. And, you know, I think one of the best things we can say is that the average tenure of our employees is more accurately measured in decades usually than in years, because it's such a great company to work for. A lot of people stay for quite some time.
That's pretty cool. And then as far as industry trends, I know you mentioned that a lot of stuff is becoming digital with the machines coming through and being automated testing. As far as any other types of industry trends, or you could talk, I guess, about the automation stuff a little bit more. How does that kind of work as far as in the lab with the test being run through there?
You know, in some ways, Drew, you'd have to see it to believe it. If I don't know how I could explain it other than RFID chips and conveyor belts and little tubes of blood. And if you type in a number into a computer, it can tell you wherever that tube of blood is at any given moment. It can tell you what tests have been run and what lab results have been achieved on that. And then it goes into a temperature controlled storage for a number of days. And if a doctor anywhere in the country should add on a test, we can grab that same specimen with no human hands touching it, automated, bring it back through conveyor belts, back onto the analyzer and test it again, you know, for whatever tests need to be added on. It's really amazing. And if you imagine that short description in the size of a couple football fields worth of laboratory instruments and analyzers and mid lab scientists walking around monitoring, then you get an idea of the scale of what's going on here in our laboratory and just how important automation is to increasing our ability to provide more lab test results that quickly overnight for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of patients a day.
That is really important by, like you said, being able to find that specimen wherever it is located and being able to run tests again if something else were to pop up. Let's talk a little bit about your career path and where you kind of started and where you are now. Looking back, is there anything you wish you would have done differently along your way? I know we've kind of brushed over and didn't even talk about you going back to school and getting your PhD. So I'm guessing that's something you looked at a couple years ago and decided that was something that you wanted to continue your education with as far as human capital management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leadership and development of people throughout their career is something I'm passionate about. And it's why my current job is so rewarding, getting to watch new leaders grow and develop each other over time. It's really exciting to watch and to watch people get excited about their career and about helping people. And sure, I think some of my best advice that I've been given at Quest is that we are always interviewing. And that meaning, hey, we're always leaving an impression wherever we go. How we do things and how we behave and say things leaves an impression on folks. But you know what? We're also always interviewing other people. We're also always interviewing to learn more about new roles and new career paths that we might not have even known about before. And so it works both ways. And I would just encourage anybody who's in high school right now or looking at future career paths, you know, choose something you're passionate about and then dip your toe in the water and explore it. But it makes an awful lot of sense, especially nowadays with the cost of tuition. Make sure that that's really the right field for you before you go committing that that amount of capital and those resources to your education. It's not that it isn't worth it, but you know, it took me until I was well into my 30s to decide, okay, healthcare administration is it, and we'll just keep going. And then, you know, I got to be honest, any regrets? No regrets at all. I've learned so much, but I will tell you there are trade-offs. And when I entered the PhD program, they said, it's no longer about time management anymore. It's about sacrifice. You're going to have to choose things in your life that you're going to cut out to prioritize this, because you will never finish if you don't. And that was true. And it was kind of cold advice, but it was well taken, and it was appreciated because it was helpful in the end. Now, like I said, I didn't even get married or have kids until just a few years ago. So, you know, after being in the Navy for a while and, you know, pushing off my education and then finally going through the PhD, I finished my PhD about a year after I got married. So, you know, to all of those people out there who are raising young families, I admire the sacrifices you're making, because I can't imagine trying to get a PhD at the same time. I don't think it would have happened. I don't think I would have been successful. Yeah. So there are trade-offs, and there are things that got put on hold before all this came into place. But, you know, that's why I say Quest is so full of mentors, whether it's Doug Hamilton or Matt Hamlin or senior leadership team here in the Great Midwest region. There's so many people who can give you those helpful hints along the way that are often the difference. And so that's why it's so important, as you're looking at your future career and the education to support that, make sure you've got the end in mind, and make sure your aim is sighted into working at a company that's got a great culture where you know that you can grow long term. And, you know, that's the great thing about Quest being a nationwide company. I've moved around several times: Ohio, New York, Texas, Illinois, and now here in Kansas City, all within Quest. So there's plenty of room to grow, even at a company like Quest, without having to change industries or even companies.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like you said, being able to move around and grow within the company to different spots. So in the next 10 years, I guess, you know, after now you've made those sacrifices and gotten that, furthered your education, where do you kind of see yourself professionally going in the direction with Quest?
That's a great question. And, you know, as long as there's leaders that are willing to work hard and learn more and be developed, that's where I'll be. And I'll kind of follow where those needs go. It really, you know, when I was a lab tech in the Navy, there were a lot of things I enjoyed about being in the Navy, but being a lab tech wasn't in the top 10. And it was only after I got out of the Navy that I learned to appreciate how important laboratory testing is and the meaning to patients' lives that it brings, and how much we're helping those people who need us the most. And so it became more gratifying as time goes on. So sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time. But a lot of it is, if you're willing to work hard and you're willing to apply yourself and learn more, good things will come. And sometimes it does require more patience than you expect. But I think, yeah, just the best advice for those high school students is, I'm thinking about, gosh, did I know where I was headed in high school? No, I did not. I really didn't. And so my best advice to you is, don't despair. Don't fear. You'll make it. But just choose something you're interested in, and then find the people that you want to be around, and you'll figure it out.
Cool. So then we're going to look at four different time frames in a younger person's life. And we're going to first start off with maybe like a sophomore, junior in high school. You know, they're interested in science, and they might be in chemistry right now, learning some fun stuff, doing the things in there. What are some things outside of the classroom they could be doing to learn more about or explore different types of science that would help maybe help lead them towards an MLS degree?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, now there is so much information out there, you know, at your fingertips, and you can explore so many different things. And there's so much great information available for free. And some of those are the best sources because, you know, they're unbiased and they're just put out there by people who are interested, whether it's a blog or, a YouTube channel or who knows what, or somebody's Instagram feed. There's so much information out there that you can make a pretty educated guess. Whereas 20 years ago, you really, you know, you were just either going on hearsay or what your own perception was of a job, or maybe it's somebody in your family who was in a similar career path. But I would say that if you're number one interested in healthcare, you know, if you're ever a patient or even if you're not, walk around a local hospital, get to know some of the nurses and doctors there, some of the ancillary staff. They've got so much time to talk about, and then find where your interests are. Maybe it isn't even necessarily in healthcare. If you're interested in science, I would venture to guess that if you take a step back at the past week, and find things that you've just naturally gravitated towards. Maybe it's the TV shows you've been watching on television. Maybe it's the websites you've been looking at. That should give you a pretty good indication of where your interests lie. And then, hey, look at the job market. Folks like Drew who can help you out and steer you in the right direction. Hey, this is where my interests are. Now I need some guidance because, you know, we all think we know in high school where we're headed. But we need some practical advice, and that's where folks like you are just absolutely essential.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm just trying to help our students and every student out there really just kind of learn about all the different healthcare careers that are available. Now, let's look at it like a college sophomore, like gotten most of their undergraduate stuff under their belt, and they're really interested in getting that MLS degree. Is there some sort of summer programs or internships or experiences that they could have outside of the classroom?
There are. And, you know, that goes along with developing those relationships and reaching out to people like Jamie Patterson Liston at SLU or folks like Doug Hamilton at Quest. And you develop those relationships and, hey, we're interested in investing in people. That's where we're interested in, because we're looking at the future. And that's where this relationship with SLU got started, because we need a pipeline of talent to recruit, retain, develop, and build. And we have such a commitment to our talented folks who work here that I got to tell you, Drew, it's much more easy to retain talented folks than it is to go out and find them. But we're always so excited when new grads or people who haven't graduated yet show an interest in the lab field. So I would say absolutely go at questdiagnostics.com, look at our careers page, look at the internship openings there. But then use those local contacts as well, because there's no reason why, if somebody's that interested, we couldn't make it work.
And then somebody getting ready to graduate from college and looking for their first job. I know they have some lab experience that they do during their program. And like you said, looking for those right people to fit in. And then with your partnership with SLU, they'll be doing some of those weekend labs type stuff there. But somebody's getting ready to look for their first job, you know, other than community, like you mentioned earlier, or the culture of Quest, what are some other things that they should be looking for when they're just getting out and entering their career?
Yeah, it's a great question. We have found through, whether you want to call it the Great Resignation or the Great Contemplation or whatever the name is, at whatever happened the past couple of years, we have been recruiting our tails off and actually developing relationships with even phlebotomy schools out there. And they've got different services such as Handshake, you know, to marry up organizations with educational institutions and provide those links that were so often not quite there or gaps in the pipeline before. I think getting out there, making your interests known and heard is key. I think that if you contact somebody in the Med Lab Scientist program at SLU, it's in their interest to find opportunities for you to, whether it's a Quest or even a Quest competitor, there's a lot of lab science field jobs open, and it really depends on what market you're in. But I will tell you that if you've graduated already, or if you're nearing graduation, oh my gosh, look at questdiagnostics.com, click on careers, and we've got thousands of jobs open.
Awesome. So the next part is somebody that has had their job, say for Quest, for 3 to 6 months, and what are some things that they should be looking at as far as, you know, that looking to the leaders to make sure they're doing their job correct and continue their role with Quest?
It's so important to have a mentor, especially in your first job in an industry. It can really make or break your whole perception of what your career is about to be. I've heard from so many friends and acquaintances outside the med lab industry field that often they will finish their school, they'll get their first job, and they're doing great. They're really successful at it. And one day, usually in the first 18 months, they will stop and look around and say, is this all there is? Is it, this isn't, you know, I'm satisfied, but is this really all that there is? Isn't there more to it than this? And that's where a mentor can really come in handy to shape that view and to see the long road ahead and how to get there and the waypoints between, and give you, you know, firsthand examples of what they went through to get where they are and what things were most helpful. But yeah, you should never stop reaching out and looking for those mentors and peers, colleagues, because there will be some days that are easier than others. I can guarantee you that during the pandemic, we had some med lab scientists who were working many, many hours of overtime, and there were some hard days, but at the same time, it was really gratifying for them to be helping so many people. So yeah, mentors, just absolutely huge.
As far as books or podcasts or maybe videos that you've seen out there, do you have any recommendations for a high school or college student that might be interested in becoming a medical laboratory scientist?
Sure, absolutely. There's all sorts of great resources out there. Some of my favorites just right now, Carla Harris, you can find her. She's such an amazing, inspirational executive. She's actually in the investment banking field, but a lot of the things that, a lot of the principles that she uses to help guide new leaders applies in just about any field. And it's inspiration mixed in with some good old common sense. And but, you know, I would just encourage people to look up her background and look at the things that she's overcome, because she broke down a lot of barriers early on in her career. And it should serve as an inspiration just to hear her story before she even talks about leadership. So right now, that's one of my favorites, Carla Harris, for sure.
Nice. I'm going to have to look her up right when we're done, because that's always something that's interested me, you know, just building leadership within students and in the classroom. So this next question is a two-part question. It's a, if you like and if you dislike blank. So we're going to start with the dislike. If you dislike blank, then being a medical laboratory scientist is not the career path for you.
Okay. All right. If you dislike the sight of blood, you know, a lot of people get past that after a while, you know, but some people don't. And it's a real thing. And it's one of those deals where a lot of people lose consciousness when they see the sight of blood, or they pass out, you know. And so that could be one signal that you might have a different career field ahead of you. But a lot of it is, you know, that scientific acumen, that sharp eye for details that med lab scientists have. If your personality profile is a little more freewheeling, and, you know, if you dislike routine, that might be a challenge for you. But I will tell you that I'm not one of those people who's a typical lab tech personality. You know, there's a lot of people who enjoy the methodical attention to detail and excel in that environment. And those are often very successful long-term med lab scientists. So Yeah, sight of blood would be one. But then if you require an abnormal amount of change, like hour by hour, that, you know, might not be the right field for you as well. The inside the laboratory, you know, the technology changes all the time, but it's really the sharp focus that is helpful.
Okay. And then second part of that is if you do like blank, then this might be the right career path for you.
Yeah. If you like helping people, if you like biology, if you like medical science, if you like healthcare, and, you know, so often, Drew, some of the people who overcome amazing obstacles to get to be a med lab scientist were someone who had a relative or a family member or a close friend who had a diagnosis, and the lab testing helped them. And so it's really personal to them, and they understand the value behind it. That can really help. So if you like those fields, and if you like the attentiveness to detail, and if you like the science behind it, yeah, it's probably going to help a lot.
I think that personal experience of having someone with a test coming back and waiting on that and seeing that, we recently went through that with my dad with some cancer over the last summer. So yeah, that is definitely something that made it possible for us to understand what was going on with him. Well, I have a couple more questions. Yeah, he's doing great now. He just sent me a text saying that he got done with his 20-mile bike ride today. So he's happy.
That's great.
And enjoying it.
That's great.
A couple questions for you. Do you have a quote that you kind of just live your life by that helps you with leadership or there at Quest?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would say in this role, it's the poem "If" by Rudyard Kipling. And if we can call that a saying, yes. We don't need to go on. It's kind of long, but we don't, you know, you can look it up, but it's applies a lot. And it has a lot to do with caring for people, not taking anything for granted, seizing the moment, making sure that you apply every amount of effort you have, and treating everyone, whether they're someone you've never met before, or your best friend, or the highest ranking person in your company, or the newest hire you have, treating everyone with respect and dignity, and then persevering. That "If" by Rudyard Kipling is important to me.
Yeah, I'm going to look that one up too when we're done. And then if someone's interested in finding out more information, how can they get in contact with you or social media? I know you mentioned your website and SLU's website. But one more time for those, anything that would be beneficial for someone to want to learn more about Quest.
Absolutely. Look me up on LinkedIn. That's my social media. I'm not active on anything else. But if you're interested more in the program with Quest and SLU, it's text Quest, QUEST, to 31838, and we'll get you hooked up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us and teaching us about Quest and your background and your career. We really appreciate it.
Right. Thank you, Drew. Good luck to everybody.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.